I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to the South Dakota Farmers Union Show, show number 3853 in an original It's Your Business series show. Joining us by phone today, Mr. Doug Somke. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Did you recover from all that time in D.C.?
I did. I finally got caught up, and it was nice to be back in my own bed for a while.
We had a chance, and you were one of those that we talked to interview, I think, 16, 18 different people. And we were running some of them today, ran some yesterday, and we'll be running in the weeks ahead. But very good people. I was impressed with the 4 dozen or so that made the trip, Doug.
Yeah, you know, people that go on a trip like that, Bill, they don't go on it because they think it's going to be a lot of fun, although they did have some relaxation and some entertainment, seeing the museums and stuff. But they go there for a purpose, and they go there to share their story and have some meaningful results. And I think we did that this time. I really do.
You had some priorities that were set up for the fly-in. Do you want to go through a few of those, and then we'll kind of talk about those during the show?
Sure. Yeah, you know, National Farmers Union has had a campaign we've been calling Fairness for Farmers pretty much throughout the whole summer. And it's really been highly accepted. I mean, this administration has really actually taken it under its wing and used a lot of the points that we've presented in USDA. For instance, one thing they're looking at is a special investigator for meat and poultry, and then also the Cash Price Discovery and Transparency Act, which Congress is working through right now. And then reestablishing the mandatory country origin labeling. We had quite a few discussions about that and how we can maybe get that done into the farm bill this next time. And then, of course, strengthening the Packers and Stockyards Act. And then the last thing that we really would like to see happen, we know it might be a long shot, but it's something that we've really been pushing hard on, is the right to repair. Farmers don't have the right to repair their own equipment with today's technologies and the software licenses that the companies that we're purchasing these things from are keeping.
You know, that was the one thing that I kind of walked away with. Didn't realize we had all those that are painted orange or red or green that have certain restrictions. Is this really hampering what farmers can do?
It really does. I mean, unless you're a really major size operator, I mean, you know, basically a commercial farmer, you can't afford the equipment that it takes to fix these implements today with the computer programming and the software that you need to purchase. I mean, they will sell it to you, but it's very expensive, and it makes it cost prohibitive. And that being said, you also got to know how to run it, right? And that's the other side of it. And the real problem is, Bill, we've got private individuals that would be willing to help us with these things, you know, starting their own businesses to, you know, repair shops and such to help us, you know, kind of be a third market. But we're not allowed to. They're not allowed to go into business. They're not allowed to own that stuff. That's really being a hindrance. And right now it's really John Deere has really been the one that's been the stink in the pile, I guess you'd say, that's holding this all up. I mean, the others have kind of come around to understanding, but John Deere has really been the one that's been holding this up.
Now, the people that were on this trip, I think 44 was the final number I saw. They some went to the White House, some visited with the Ag Secretary, others, and I got to go to two or three of the meetings where we got to talk to either a senator, congressman, or somebody serving in that office. That was pretty special to be able to go around and to listen and figure out, can we get any help from some of these other places?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, we went to the CFTC, we went to the Surface Transportation Board, we went to the Department of Justice, specifically the antitrust department there, and we really had some good results. We had really good conversations. In many of the meetings, this undersecretary was only going to be with us basically for introductions, and that was it. And for most of the case, they stayed throughout the whole meeting. I mean, they were so intrigued by the stories that they're hearing, personal stories from individuals on what they were seeing and happening out here in the countryside, not only with the beef packer issue, but also the purchasing of fertilizer and the challenges for markets of chemicals and fertilizer and inputs, Bill. I mean, it's just been a real, real challenge. And they actually admitted to us several different times that where they apologize that they dropped ball. They have not been keeping up on these topics. And I'll be the first one to admit, I always thought that whenever there was a congressional hearing, people testifying, telling their stories, that this went further up the chain. It didn't just stop at the congressional hearing. And apparently that's not the case. Apparently nobody else is paying attention out in that town. And so it was really important that we get in front of them and share our personal views and our personal stories of what's happening.
Well, we'd better make this more than a two-person conversation. We'd better get to some of the tapes. We had a chance to actually go to the headquarters of the National Farmers Union. Rob LaRue actually did an interview with us. But we're fortunate in South Dakota that we have the number two guy, Doug.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff Kipley. You know, I mean, Jeff's a great guy. I mean, he's a young producer. Him and his family farm north of Aberdeen, in between Aberdeen and Frederick. And his wife, Rachel, she was on the county commission here in Brown County. And just a great family, well involved. They're all about their family. They're all about keeping their kids on the farm as well and letting them experience the opportunity to possibly be farmers too. And they're just doing the right things. And real, real proud and happy to have him in that second seat.
All right, we're going to hear from both Mr. and Mrs. Kipley. Mrs. Kipley had a really good comeback for us. She had some of the energy. But let's listen to our conversation with Jeff Kipley, Vice President, National Farmers Union. Jeff Kipley has joined us. Now, you got more than one title. You know, the husband, too, your outspoken wife that basically said that you didn't have to tell her what to say here.
Yeah, exactly right. She has a mind of her own, that's for sure.
All right, you are number two nationwide, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I am currently serving the role of Vice President of National Farmers Union.
All right, I know the Kipleys well in South Dakota. Why did you need another job? Or is this a job or is this a love?
You know, I guess it's a passion. We want to make sure that we have the ability for our kids to come back to our farm. And there's some things that we see right now in this world that are leading us to think that it's maybe not possible if things don't change. The cattle markets are a big part of that. And so that's why I said it's time to step up and do something about it. And so I ran and I got elected.
The family that you have, other than the wife now,
yeah,
we've heard from her. But for the most part, the kids, you want to pass the torch. You want the Kipleys to continue to be in agriculture. Are you convincing them doing what you're doing?
You know, I hope so. The big thing is if they really don't want to do it, I don't want to force them to do it, but I want them to have that opportunity. I don't want to have to tell them that they can't come back. And if we don't get this meat packer situation settled down, we won't be able to let them come back to our operation. We are pretty cattle heavy on our operation, and the cow-calf guy has not had a real profitable year since 2014. And so that has to change if we're going to be able to say, yes, you can come back.
So nationwide, you're now dealing with 50 states, not just South Dakota. What are you seeing out there that really needs states to come together, farm organizations to come together, politicians to back you?
You know, I really think it's this consolidation in agriculture that we need to put a stop to. This isn't a South Dakota issue or a Midwest issue. It's a nationwide issue. As we see these large meat packers get larger, or the tractors manufacturing companies become only three, producing the vast majority of all tractors in America, you don't have options. And when you don't have options or competition, you really are behind the eight ball and you pay what they want to charge.
I had a chance to talk to Governor Noem.
because of all the stories with Holstone, all the thing that's going on, plus the folks out in the hills that are wanting to kill 8,000 a day, the buffalo and also the cattle. And the question I ask her with these people in both sides of the state that are throwing up red flares, we don't need this, is agriculture still number one in South Dakota?
Oh, it definitely is. The part that's scary is our cities are getting larger and our towns are getting smaller. And you're not going to rebuild your small communities without agriculture being at the backbone. And so what we need to do is be able to figure out a way that you can make a living without having the farm 20,000 acres or have a 10,000 head plus feedlot. You need to be able to do it on less acres and on less cattle and still make a living and be able to provide for your family.
Okay, I'm going to make you reach out on this one. Okay, you're a national figure, so I need to ask this. At the South Dakota State Fair, they had a group that met talking about using some of the Ukrainian labor. Mike Cartney, who Glacial Lakes, retiring at the end of the year, was saying, we could use 10,000, we could use 20,000, because we do need help in South Dakota in agriculture and other professions. Do you believe that?
Well, there's definitely a labor shortage in South Dakota and really across the ag community nationwide. Does it have to come from Ukrainian labor? That I don't know. But, you know, since the COVID pandemic, we had a lot of people retire out of the workforce. We've had a lot of people maybe cut down that used to work two jobs and now are trying to do it on one. And so with that, we need more labor.
Jeff Kipley. Doug, I will say how fortunate South Dakota is to have a Jeff Kipley as a VP, National Farmers Union, and Scott Vanderwall, the American Farm Bureau, to have the number two slots. That's pretty big stuff.
Yeah, you know, I know both these guys. I mean, I've known Scott for a long time, too, and they both have it all, you know, around the family. That's the reason they're in this business. That's the reason they're doing what they're doing. And I think they both represent, you know, our organizations very well. Again, couldn't be happier to have them both where they are. And we just need to make sure that as South Dakotans, we make some hay on this. I mean, we've got to keep these two organizations working together to keep agriculture moving forward here in the state. And I'll be honest with you, Bill. I mean, I feel that agriculture is a little stagnant. I mean, we're not hearing a lot of big things happening. I mean, there was just recently a groundbreaking ceremony at Lake Preston for a jet fuel plant. But I mean, other than that, we really aren't doing many things when they're fighting to stay alive in Sioux Falls area. I mean, the battle against the Holstone food plant, I mean, that's just unheard of in this state. I mean, that we used to embrace those type of things, and now we got to fight for our lives. And so we really need these two guys to bring that kind of attention to the state of South Dakota and let people know that we still are strong. Agriculture is where we want to be.
Luke has joined us fresh from T, South Dakota, this morning. He's here. And as we talk about our upcoming couple of interviews, one with Hank Wannenberg and Joe Painter, those are going to be important storylines too, Luke.
Yeah, they absolutely are. Number one, Joe Painter, he's a cattle rancher from western South Dakota, and he gives a very good perspective of how we need transparency within these cattle markets. Hank Wannenberg, also a producer from Gregory, South Dakota, he offers a very unique perspective in agriculture from a banking standpoint, so he understands the financials behind that, but also in production as well. He's a very strong member of Farmers Union. He and his wife Melissa, and they've just been excellent advocates for rural farmers and ranchers.
Doug, I have to tell you that I was very impressed with some of these people that I had a chance to talk to. One of them was Josh Christensen, who we're going to hear from Harrisburg, what he is doing with the schools there. Garrett Kruger, Lake Preston. He was good. And, oh, yes, Mrs. Kipley has a response to her husband. I think all of those showed the kind of energy and the kind of talking back and forth that we had on that trip.
Yeah, they did. I mean, again, Bill, you know, you and I talked about this at the fly-in. I really felt re-energized. I mean, it's been a long time since we've been back there, and to be back there and in front of the congressman and in front of the departments, so secretaries of the departments, was huge. And I really feel, you know, some positive energy coming from this. So, yeah, those three, they have it, and I can't wait for you to share their stories.
Hank Wannenberg comes up. We'll take a break. Be right back.
Hank Wannenberg joins us. I probably screwed up that name, but, you know, I'm German. I can mess up Zortman and make it Zeitman. But you're out of Gregory. It is your second of these farm fly-ins. One was a virtual. What'd you see?
Actually, two live fly-ins and two, the last 2 years, virtual as well. So was here one time prior to the pandemic, and things are a lot different here now.
All right, Hank, I'm sorry that I didn't give a German the full credit for being here, but duly noted. But you said that M. Cool needs a little help. What are you talking about? What would you suggest, and is there an appetite for it?
Yeah, so country of origin labeling has been a, you know, hot topic for decades now, but especially since it was repealed in 2015 or 2016, and Farmers Union has been a real champion for reenactment of country of origin labeling ever since. It's right now there's a bill out there, and they're looking for bipartisan support on it, in the House especially. They have it in the Senate right now, but in the House. And that's kind of a real hot topic with my family. Our main part of our bread and butter of our operation is cattle. So we're really, really advocates for reenacting M-COOL. And so we've concentrated a lot on that throughout the week. And I really appreciated Senator Rounds kind of laying out a potential pathway for how we can get this done and get it re-implemented. He said as we write the next farm bill, it's critical that before any other trade negotiations would happen to go in there or be tweaked or added, that it's right in the farm bill that nothing else with trade can be done, whether you're talking ag or any other type of trade, without reenactment of country of origin labeling. And that may be the best path to try to get something done rather than having to go through the Senate and the House with it and bring it to a vote. And when we got to listen to and have some Q&A with Secretary Tom Vilsack a couple of days ago at the USDA building, he enlightened us that they do currently have a survey out to 4,000 people. It's supposed to be all across different sects of the country. As far as a two-part survey on labeling, and the first question on the survey is, what do you, as a consumer, think that a label that says product of USA means to you? And then the second part is, if there was new labels, less misleading labels, put out as far as what country things actually came from and splitting it up accurately, would that label have value? Would you be willing to pay a little more at the store for something that would you see it superior enough to pay more for it? So anyway, they have these surveys out. They'll collect them. They're going to check the results and see what the consumer really thinks, because we as the producers can preach and preach and preach and push for this, but it needs to be consumer driven. There's a lot more consumers in this country than there are farmers.
All right, you just put it out there. So what do you think the consumers are going to say? And we'll have you back when they get a return on that survey. What would be your best guess?
I can't imagine that they would not say that they're already misled. I mean, that product of USA label is so misleading, and consumers are the ones that drove us as American producers to have to more try to avoid antibiotics through our livestock and those sorts of things. And we are held to a higher standard on the food that we're producing than this beef that's being shipped in from around the world. And then when it gets co-mingled or packaged identically, that's misleading to consumers.
So you're talking to a farmer someplace in South Dakota, and you're talking to them about the fly-in, how important it is. What would you tell them first?
I'd say that it's a lot of fun. It's a enjoyable and educational experience that can be frustrating as well. But just to come and realize how the whole process works. You know, things work differently than you would ever imagine. And it is a really cool opportunity to get a chance to actually sit down and talk to more directly to the policymakers that make these decisions and tell them your story. Has a lot more impact if you as a producer can tell them rather than rely on your lobbyists to do everything for you.
When I look at the fly-in, I look at that as a way to pass a torch to the next generation. You're going to have some folks that have been there 16, 17 years, some people that, you know, want to count a couple of the virtuals, a couple of them that want to be live. But for the most part, is there a good reason that this can help the next generation?
Oh, it's all for the next generation. You know, a lot of the older folks that make the time for this, they're coming for the next generation, or maybe their grandkids' generation, to make time to come and try to make life better and sustainable for their family farm. And that's what it's all about. It's important that the younger generation also recognize the value of making the effort to come, because they're the ones that actually probably have the most impact when they sit down in these meetings. They're the ones that are the up-and-coming ones. They resonate a lot better. So, younger people make all the difference coming to these fly-ins.
Hank, thanks for being here. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Doug Somke, did he tell it like it was?
Man, I can't say any better. I mean, he's a good example of why and what we do. And Hank just has a way of, just spilling out the truth in such a short and understandable manner. Love that man. He's a great guy.
All right, we're going to have our own painter coming up. Les Meister, man of his own. They come up after the break. Welcome back to the South Dakota Farmers Union Show. Last week, 40 members did a fly-in to D.C. They took me along, and I was happy to be there as a reporter. Doug Somke, tell us about Joe Painter. What Joe brings to the table.
Yeah, Joe's from up there in that Buffalo area. You know, it's just, again, you know, I just want to point out the fact that we had people from all over the state. I mean, it wasn't just one part of the state, East River, West River. We had them from all over, and Joe's an example of that. This is the second time, I believe, that Joe has been on this fly-in, and he just does a great job bringing this perspective of what life is like out there and sharing it with the congressman and the Department of Ag. It was really, really good. And he, again, couldn't say enough about the work he did for us as well.
Joe Painter has joined us. He would be, let's see, the westernmost person that we've talked to at the fly-in. He's from someplace called Buffalo, South Dakota. Third fly-in. He's a cow-calf operator. Okay, level with me. What'd you get out of this conference?
Well, it's been pretty dang good so far. You know, when we came out here, Farmers Union had these Fairness for Farmers points. There's about five points there that were just perfect for what I wanted to talk about. Biggest thing, I think, is same thing we've been fighting for years, is trying to break up the big packer monopolies. We got four of them, you know, doing 85% of the trade. But there's some new things that's coming down with the they're getting some going to get some teeth, and some of the laws are already on the books now, it looks like. So hopefully they'll have a chance at getting some of this stuff taken care of.
Out in the hills, you've got a young lady that is putting together quite the buffalo and calf side, that she wants to harvest 8,000 head a day. As I've talked with her, much like we've talked with the people at Holstone, not everybody in South Dakota wants more agriculture, more beef, more pork. The governor says agriculture still number one. Is it?
Yeah, I think agriculture is still the number one, you know, business in our state. Yeah, you just can just drive around and look, and it pays, the agriculture pays the majority of all the taxes, all the jobs. You know, tourism is a big thing too, but ag is very important in South Dakota. So anyway, we're sure hoping to get quite a little done out here. They're all talking, and even Rounds told us today that there's a good chance of passing the cool again. Something we really would like to have back for the cattle industry is to let those people who go out and purchase beef, if they want to spend a little extra money and buy homegrown American beef, they can.
It's your third fly-in, but I've heard in talking with some of the ranchers out in the hills that it's been a little tough with some of the generations. They had to give up after three or four generations. What do we do to keep them in the game? What do we do to encourage them, to help them on the road?
The biggest thing I can see is we just need a fair price for our product. And that's what we can get if, you know, they take and break up some of these big packers, and they have to start coming to the plate and bidding what these cattle are worth at that day. And we don't ask for a lot, but if we could just get fair prices for our cattle, we would be in the business.
So what do you tell the people out west, around Buffalo, West Hills, as far as why this fly-in is so important?
Well, we can stay home and complain to our neighbor or go down the local restaurant and coffee shop and talk all these problems every day, but people need to get out here and get to Washington, D.C., talk to the senators, congressmen, the aides, the staff, let them know what's going on, what it's like to be out there in the producer and not getting a fair price for a product, because a lot of these people you talk to don't even really know this even exists, and they don't, some of them don't understand how important food is for the country as a whole. You know, when you've got everybody well fed, you've got a happy country. I've worked had a lot of foreign workers work on my ranch through the years with a program called Communicating for Agriculture, and a lot of these kids have been hungry or seen starvation, and we don't see that in our part of the country, and it's food is so important, and we need to keep a good food supply to keep a strong country.
So you'd say the fly-in, the health of it is good?
I'd say it's very good to get out here and tell our story to the people that are listening to us. I think it's been very successful, and we hope for another great day tomorrow.
Joe Painter, Buffalo, South Dakota, appreciate you being here. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, Luke, set up Oren Lesmeister.
Oren Lesmeister, there's a lot I could talk about this guy. I admire him so much just because he's such a boots-on-the-ground type of advocate for farmers and ranchers. He's a state legislator, business owner, and just a champion in agriculture.
Oren Lesmeister has joined us. That's the third fly-in. I know you've been on my show a few times.
Yes, I have.
What did I invite you on for? Do you remember?
Just we were talking about ag issues in rural America, just as we always do.
When do we talk about that? What kind of issues do you talk when you come to this kind of a fly-in?
Well, the biggest thing we talk about is right now in this fly-in is fairness for farmers. We're talking about the meat consolidation, the packer consolidation, which is an issue that's been going on forever. Right down to just fairness in markets. That's one of the hugest things with our producers today is just trying to get to where they can actually get a good price for their goods that they want to sell.
When you start talking, Oren, we know that you get close to these elected officials. We only have three in the state that are in D.C. And of course, that's old Dusty Johnson, who just calls me Zortman, John Thune, and also Mike Rounds. Do you feel like they listen to South Dakota? And what maybe could they improve on?
Well, I think they listen to us in South Dakota, and even when South Dakota's out here talking to them. I think they listen. What can they do better? They could probably actually show us the results. If they're making progress, don't tell us what they propose, what they want to do. Actually show us some results. Because I think that's where people get flustered at times with our congressional delegation is you talk a lot, but where's the results? So that might be the biggest thing. Just bring us home some results.
All right, what two results would you like to see them bring home? And I know you probably have a list. I would have a list of 12 or 14, but two. you don't get on very often with me, so I'll give you a chance to maybe kind of explain them.
Well, one of them is the hot topic that, you know, again, the Packer consolidation. Whether the DOJ is going to investigate, whether they push some bills through that they signed on to. Senator Thune's actually a sponsor on one. Rounds is also. Dusty signed on to one of them also. But push them through. Let's not talk. I know we got the end of the year coming up, and they've got some budgetary issues they got to work through. But let's get it done. We've talked. We've looked. We've studied. We've thought about it. Now let's get it done. So push that through. That would be one of the hugest ones, I think, for our area. The second one would be not so much getting a bill done, but let's just start getting along again. Let's actually get more done in Congress than what we are. Let's start reaching back and forth across aisles. Let's build in bridges and get communication, you know, even with the White House for that matter. But let's get it done. Let's get stuff done, not just for rural America, but even for the cities and towns and rural America all combined.
When we get back, we're going to hear from Mrs. Kipley. You heard from the vice president. We'll see what Mrs. Kipley has to say about her husband. We'll talk about Harrisburg, and we'll also hear as well from Garrett Krueger, one of the youngest on the trip.
Rachel Kipley has joined us. We're not talking to a lot of ladies, but maybe we should be. You had a chance to come in. The family's here. Why is this fly-in so important to you?
This fly-in is so important, and not just this one, but every year, because it's really where you make your impact. You go up to to Capitol Hill and you tell your story, and it resonates on ears of folks that may not be familiar with where their food comes from. But the reason it's so important is because if they don't understand that story and they don't get the opportunity to hear it, our way of life is going to go by the wayside. I've got four kids myself. Not going to guarantee any of them will choose to come on the farm, but I would like the opportunity for them to have that option. If we don't make our voices heard and make an impact here in D.C., the policies that are being made right now will affect whether or not my kids and other kids can have that choice and that option.
What I kept hearing from the time that I spent here was food, food, food. That makes such a difference. What did you hear specifically that said, I need to get involved, I need to make a difference, we can go a different direction?
Well, it's exactly what I've just been telling you about. You know, the quality of that food, it makes a difference whether it's coming from a number of farmers across the country or whether you're just looking at a handful of companies producing the food. It's quality. And while our numbers might be dwindling as farmers, everybody's a consumer. So we need to make sure that people understand it's not just the handful of farmers that are up here making these pleas for the policies to change. It's all about the quality of food and being the ability to feed folks not only in our country but across the world. That's what we're talking about.
All right. This is Mrs. Kipley, and you're not just somebody's wife. You're somebody that's here speaking for agriculture, your family, and the future.
That's right.
So what are you going to do when you go back home? You know, you're going back home to Aberdeen, and you're thinking about this. Who do you follow up with? How do you make sure that they heard this Kipley lady?
You know, we're pretty blessed in South Dakota to have a congressional delegation that is very in tune to what's going on because they're on the front lines of it. However, we have to talk to our neighbors, our relatives, folks that we know from other states that may not be as educated as what we are about those issues. And like I said, it's not just a farm issue. It's an American issue. It's anybody that's in the grocery store lines that needs to buy and purchase food for their families. That's who we need to be talking to.
All right. She is one of a kind. Wouldn't you agree, Doug?
Absolutely. You know, she's a great one to have on our team. And again, you know, she brings up a great point, the fact that, you know, we all need to get together. And that's been something that throughout these interviews, you've noticed that, right? I mean, the one thing that I did tell Senator Thune about this fly-in is that a quote from Paul Wellstone, a great known senator from Minnesota that passed away in a plane crash. We all do better when we all do better. And that's something I think that resonated throughout this fly-in.
set up Josh Christensen for me, fastest growing county, Lincoln County. He's doing something in the schools.
Yeah, he's the FFA director there. Great guy. This is his first fly-in. And he admitted to us that he didn't know that much about South Dakota Farmers Union or Farmers Union as a whole until now. And he's sold. I mean, he's all in. He's going to be sharing our stories, you know, with his classmates and his other teachers. And so, we're, you know, really looking forward to what he can bring to us. But you've got to remember, he's coming from one of the largest and fastest growing school districts in the state right now. And if you want to reach consumers, you want to reach a lot of people in a hurry, that's where you want to be, is someplace where Josh is. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, a relationship working with him in that school district.
Josh Christensen joins us. He's out of Harrisburg. It's your first fly-in, but you're the first of the FFA advisors that I've talked to today. Defend yourself.
Well, you know, it's been a great experience, and I was real thankful that Farmers Union asked me to come. I asked me to help support ag a little bit in South Dakota. You know, as an ag educator, I think one of the greatest things about this is what I've learned from it and what I can take back and teach my students about it too, and what's going on in our nation's capital.
When we look at Harrisburg, it's a growing community. It's in the biggest county as far as growth in South Dakota. As I had one of the guests today say, he'd hate to have lots around Harrisburg because the value that they have. What's going to happen to agriculture in your neighborhood?
Well, you know, we're already kind of seeing it, and with the youth, it's the students that just they're disconnected from agriculture, not really sure where their food comes from, that kind of thing. But yeah, agriculture is a lot of the land there is being taken over by homes and by industry a little bit too, and so we do see fewer and fewer farmers and farm kids, and so that's why something like this is even more important, to make sure that they're understanding that there's still farmers out there that are fighting for what they get and what they can do and to make a livelihood.
The benefit is to speak with congressional delegates from other states. That could also be a benefit for some of your students.
Oh, for sure, yeah, and that was really a great thing when we talked with the staff for Representative Price from North Carolina today. Staff member really we opened her eyes a little bit about what's going on in agriculture around the country and that kind of thing. And I think with students too, when they get to go places like National FFA Convention or Washington Leadership Conference, and they get to meet other, whether it's students or adults or professionals or whatever it is, when they get to meet those people and talk to those people, they definitely benefit, and they definitely learn those leadership skills a lot better too.
You get to work with Jerry Idy. How's that?
Well, I don't work real closely with her, but she does a lot of stuff for South Dakota FFA, and she works her tail off to help raise funds for all the activities that students do and for the leadership growth that we have in the state. So she does a great job.
So how many students do you have in ag at Harrisburg?
We're sitting at about 200 right now for this year, and the way that we do things, each of those students is an FFA member, so they're pretty active for the most part. We'll get about half of them or a little less than half of them to actually compete in contests and do leadership growth and community service type things and that. So it's a good number, but there's two of us ag teachers there, and we can hardly keep up with everything that students want to do.
I told Josh that I'd come down, Luke's going to come down, and we're going to speak to those kids. So when you hear that, Doug, what do you think? Josh and Rachel, they really helped make the trip even better.
Well, they did, Bill, and you know, but also having you along and having people like you that advocate for us, you know, to get our word out to the public over the airways like you do. I mean, couldn't be more thankful for your efforts and your ability and your understanding of what we face and your care. I mean, you got to admit, I mean, when people hear from people like you and just like the Kipleys and Christensens, I mean, they're speaking from the heart, and that's what we need, and that's just the way it should be, and that's what made America great, and I'm just so proud to be part of this organization and the abilities that we can accomplish. I mean, nothing is too big if we all stick together.
Can't wait to share Jarrett Kruger. We had a segment with him yesterday. We're going to talk about a guy with energy, a kid that said, I just want to learn from everybody on this trip. He's next. Did the fly-in pass the torch? I give you Garrett Kruger, Lake Preston.
So what would you tell juniors, seniors in high school, those that are just starting at our four-year institutions or junior college or tech schools, about the importance of coming to a fly-in?
I would advise them to come to a fly-in because if you are going to a four-year for agriculture or anything like that, it would be smart to know what you're getting yourself into beforehand, other than finishing out college, going to your first fly-in, and then, like, being mind blown by what has just happened. All these rules that always get reestablished, re-talked about. It's just something they need to know about before they fully invest themselves into what is going to be their future.
All right, Garrett Kruger, I'm going to tell you what I saw in you. I saw somebody that wanted to make people around you feel comfortable. You found a way to talk to them, regardless of age, regardless of what they were doing, regardless what the topic was, but you listened and you made a difference. Regardless of what you choose, you will be a success.
Thank you. This isn't the first time I was told that, but it does feel so amazing to hear from somebody I got to know a lot about over just one day, not even a day, almost like 12 hours. But thank you so much. And you are someone I look up to dearly now because I can never see myself being this successful, but I always take people's advice and opinions to the heart, and I thank everyone for looking at me how I can't look at myself sometimes. So thank you.
Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to come back on in 3 months, and we're going to talk a little bit about the conference, where we are in agriculture, and let you give the youth perspective on agriculture and where we need to go. Would you be willing to do that?
I would. I would be honored.
Garrett Kruger, we appreciate you. We'll talk in 3 months.
See you in 3 months.
Doug, what'd you think?
Yeah, amen. You nailed it with your description of him. And he's just a listener. He's a good leader because he does listen. And he's not all hat and no cattle. He's just a great kid. And, so glad to see him come up through our education program. And he's going to go places. I'm really looking forward to following him in his life.
We're in our last minute, 30 seconds. Why this conference was important, how you're going to follow up.
Well, it was so important because, again, we haven't been there for 3 years, right? And the Fairness for Farmer campaign has been so successful, and we're making the right points, not only with congressmen, but also the department heads, and also with the consumer. I mean, that's really where it's at. I mean, I think it was Hank who said that, you know, there's more consumers than there are farmers, and we need their help. And this is all for them as well. This is not just about, you know, keeping farmers on land, but it's also for the consumers.
President Doug Somke, Luke, final word.
Great fly-in, my first one, but hearing from everybody else, it was just a tremendous experience, one of the best fly-ins that we had, so looking forward to the future ones.
For the thousands with South Dakota Farmers Union, I'm Bill Zortman. With the team, our time is up. Thank you for yours.
Kello News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at kello.com.